You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome all you listeners wherever you're at home, out in the car, on the internet. We just welcome you to our program. And we hope you'll be blessed with what you hear today. As I always say, it's not because of Don and I, but because we're going to give you the Word of God. Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart that we have for 23 years, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, out of Revelation 19:10. Haven't mentioned that lately, Pastor Don.
23 years.
It was on January 3rd. So we're honored to be here with you. It's been a pleasure to do this program and to bring some insight to people and what the Scriptures reveal and all that. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. As we tell you up front all the time, if you can't, we have a commentary you can order, or you can get a CD or a tape for the radio program. All we ask for is a love offering, and you can make a check out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip there is 34995, and we'll get it out to you as soon as we can.
Amen. Okay.
So, and the book, if you want it, as we mentioned every week, is $25 plus maybe let's say $4 for shipping and handling, and we'll get that out for you. It gives you all the Jewish roots, the understanding of it, the historical parts of it, and also prophetically where we're at today with all of it. So be blessed in the name of Jesus.
Some of the things we're going to be teaching out of today is going to be out of this book.
Right.
So you're going to hear a little bit of that. And so 23 and a half years almost, Pastor Gene. Mm-hmm. And we've been on WCNO radio station for how many years?
18 plus.
18?
We're coming up July. It'll be 19
almost
years.
Almost 19 years. And so you can listen to us through the internet. That's on WCNO.com.
Thank you, Lord.
You can listen to this again. And also there's many other programs that we have done that's on the internet that you can listen to at WCNO.com. Mm-hmm. And all you need to do is just go to the Saturday schedule, and you look at 12 noon and you'll see Raising the Standard, Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. And there you can listen to that and also many other music, wonderful music.
Thank you, Lord.
And you can tell your friends or your relatives, because it's now goes everywhere in the world. So, we got a word one time that it would go everywhere, and I had no idea how that would ever happen, because you certainly can't afford to be on every radio station
around
in
the world. Yeah.
But because of the internet, now
it's real easy.
Everyone, it's very easy, and
that's right.
It is a blessing to be able to do that, to use it for God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to mention also, before I give our telephone number, that we have services. We meet with God. Pastor Gene likes to call it meeting with God. And we do that every Friday night at 7 p.m. We come together when we honor the Sabbath, and we have a communion together, and we light the Sabbath candles, and we spend that time in prayer and worship and soaking and seeking God's presence. And then we come together on Saturday at 4 o'clock, and we have a teaching, and right now the teaching is a really an awesome video teaching we're showing, and it's about the Bible and how it how down through the ages, you know, people have tried to change it, distort it,
and destroy the King James
Bible, destroy the truth.
That's right.
And so that will be a video on Saturday, and then we'll close the Shabbat Sabbath out with a little dinner and pray. Then we come together on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, at 10 o'clock, and we spend time worship God. And as the name of the church is, or the ministry is called, Spirit of Prophecy, and it comes out of Revelation 19:10, where it says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, or Yeshua, is the Spirit of Prophecy."
That's right.
So I want to give our telephone number in case you would like to give us a call, or, you know, you want to talk to Pastor Gene or myself, and it's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007. We want to say hello to you out there, our friends, and those of you who pray for us, and we thank you for that. We're getting stronger day by day, trusting in the Lord, because that's where our strength comes from.
Yeah.
The joy of the Lord is our strength, and so we're getting more energy, and we're just trusting the Lord for that. You know, He said He, and we're resting more, too. We got to rest, Bob. We need to all rest, and we just need to seek God's presence, and we thank you for praying, keeping us in prayer. And if you'd like to have this commentary, I know this will be a blessing to you, and you know, you can use it as a Bible study, and you can. Some people are taking it and they're teaching it in their church or they're
right.
Teaching it to their home study group, and it's a blessing to be able to offer it to you for $25, and it's really like a college course, because you don't find a lot of people teaching this in church. You know,
not looking at it through the Jewish eyes and God's appointed times, right? But I think about Roscoe and Audrey Walks over in Andros Island, our sister church. They've been teaching that to their congregation over there for a long time. So we just pray that more people will be interested in that and will come there as well. And
we'll say hello to them.
Yeah.
And because we're helping them to build, they're building a church on Andros Island. It's called the Temple of God. And the walls are up, and they're putting the header part.
The header on, yeah.
And then the roof will be going on. You know, before long, the tent will be down.
That's right.
And they'll be having services in the building. So that's awesome. And so we want to say hello to you over there, out there, and others that are listening to us in different places. Amen. Glory to God.
And bless you with what you're doing.
Bless you all.
That's
yeah.
right. That prophetic and apostolic dimension on the island of Andros. And with that conch shell that they blow like a shofar. They walk
yes.
up and down that street and declare it. Amen?
Amen.
So we're honored to be here with you again on another Saturday, and we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program, like I mentioned a little bit ago. If you can't, we do offer a CD or a tape, and all we ask for is a love offering, and you can call in and let us know, or just send a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995, as I mentioned a moment ago also, and we'll be glad to mail it out to you. Amen? So, as I said, we're honored to be here with you again. I get excited about some things. So we've been talking about the counting of the Omer. Now, we talked quite a bit about that, but we're getting real close now to come up to the 50th day here. And when Pentecost, or Shavuot, was put in place by God. So I want to show some parallels here today. See, God always has patterns in the early part of the Word of God, and then we see the prophetic fulfillment of it in the New Testament, and it's really a renewed Testament is what it is. And so it's amazing to think about what God's given us, but if we look at it through what God gave that, well, then we can see some things in a greater and dynamic way than we ever thought before. So I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 12. We're going to talk about something about a foreshadow here of some things. We're going to see a prophetic truth. Not only here, it's not a prophetic truth here, but it did happen. But we're going to see how it was kind of basically, not kind of, but was truly fulfilled in the New Testament and about Pentecost. So I'm going to read a few verses with you here. Chapter 32 of Exodus 32. If you're home, open up your Bible. If not, just listen real good. Like I said, you can get a CD or a tape. And when the people, remember Moses went up on the mountain And he was gone for 40 days. And it says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. Whoa, for as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not, meaning we knew not, what is become of him. They thought he just disappeared. And so if you're at home, I'm reading Exodus 32, I'm in verse 3 now. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings. Now Aaron said this, the high priest, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand, and fashioned it, listen to this, fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, These be thy gods, whoa, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Boy, what a lie, huh? And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now we need to go over to a couple other verses here in Exodus 32.
So they were going back to the old ways. They were going to take their jewels, and they were going to make
a calf,
and they were going to worship other gods. And that's right. God had delivered them from that. But yet, you know, here they are being disobedient and going back to their old ways. Now, why do people want to go back to their old ways? They hadn't been delivered, had they?
They came out of Egypt, but Egypt was still within them.
Still within them.
That's right.
And so they hadn't been delivered. They needed to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And they went back to doing what they had learned in Egypt. Because,
right.
you know, in Egypt they had many gods. Think about the people here in America. You know, people that won't call them gods, but they are gods. There's mm-hmm. many, people have many gods. And because anything that we put before Jehovah, before God, is an idol.
It's an idol.
Or is
That's right.
it can be a, could be called another god.
That's right. So now I took you, I was in Exodus 32. I want to go over now to verse 25. I'm going to read a couple more verses here.
Okay.
And when Moses saw that the people, when he came down, saw they were naked. Listen to this. For Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Not only were they physically naked, but they made them naked before the enemies so that God couldn't do anything with them. He left them alone because of what they did, the sin. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. Now I'm going to stop there. Why would I be saying that? So he says, Everyone that's with me, get a sword and come with me. The only group that came was the Levites. And this is the reason why God chose the Levites to minister at the altar all through history of Israel. Isn't that incredible? Because of their obedience. So they went through the camp and killed about approximately 3,000 people. But what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2?
Wow.
Let's look at this now.
3,000 people were saved.
That's right. So they were killed, okay? So.
And so, you know, people say, well, why would God do that? They had a choice.
That's right.
God didn't, you know, they had a choice. They could have chosen to go with Moses, right?
Right, but all of them. Yeah.
They all could have chosen,
That's
but
right.
they didn't choose. They didn't.
Nope.
So, you know, so what happens? They brought destruction on themselves. And so they had to be removed from the camp. You know, we're not, we're reading in the book of Leviticus with the Torah reading, you know, the Torah scroll, the portions. And, you know, it says that they're to be holy.
That's right.
They were not seeking holiness. I mean, mm-hmm. you're naked and you're worshiping these other gods and you're dancing and having all these, doing all these
like
bad things.
Having an orgy down there.
And so here they are. And God said to remove them.
That's right.
And, you know, we're supposed to remove those things that are wicked from our houses.
That's
from
right.
From our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where are we going now?
So anyway, if you read over in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached his message, it said there was 3,000 Jewish people that came into the kingdom of God. So here's just the opposite of what happened over here with disobedience in Acts chapter 32. So think about this, you know. 3,000 people lost their lives because of disobedience, but Yeshua came and brought life. And so remember, Yeshua brings life and not death. That's an incredible prophetic picture for what happened there. But I'd like to talk about now some parallels between Mount Sinai, what happened there, and on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. You know, basically, it's no accident that the Lord chose this festival connected with the giving of the Torah to send the Holy Ghost to empower us, each and every one of us. You know, it's the empowering presence of God. That's what we want. That brings us into the supernatural. Each believer, just as the Torah teaches God's truth, so the Holy Ghost teaches God's truth. You can read that in John 14:26, John 15:26, and John 16:13. We must understand that Yeshua's Torah, or his word, is not different or an improvement over God's Torah in the Hebrew Scriptures. He never contradicts anything, does he? The Apostle Paul called it holy, just, and good in Romans 7:12. What is different is the receptiveness, this is key now, the receptiveness of those for whom the Torah is meant, due to having what? A new spirit and a heart of flesh, as we read over in Ezekiel 36:26. On which the Torah was written, it tells you this in Jeremiah, what, 31, verses 32 and 33. Not written on tablets of stone, but in our heart. A heart receptive to the Holy Ghost. And this is also revealed in 1 Corinthians 2:14 in the New Testament. Therefore, the Holy Ghost, again, in a believer's life, makes the Torah even more real to them. It becomes alive. And the giving of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost only heightens the total significance of the giving of the Torah on that particular day. The Torah of Yeshua has a higher standard than Moses. Think about this. It does. Higher standard than the Torah because of the circumcision of the heart. It shines light on the motive of the heart. This is so important to understand this. And so we have to understand what God was wanting to do with this. We needed the power of the Holy Ghost. It brings revelation. It brings supernatural understanding to the Scriptures. It brings us into the supernatural realm as well, as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. So the Holy Ghost then just heightens the significance of what? Of the Torah on that particular day. Isn't it interesting? We mentioned this last couple of weeks. That happened over in Exodus chapter 19 when God spoke from Mount Sinai. 1,500 years in the future, it became the real thing in Acts chapter 2. It was being fulfilled at that time in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. So think about that. At both places, at Mount Sinai and at Pentecost in Jerusalem, the Torah was delivered to God's people, and it was. At Sinai, the Ten Commandments were written on tablets of stone by the finger of God. You can read that in Exodus 31:18. While at Pentecost, the Torah was written on the tablets of the heart. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 3:6-18. It makes it real clear there. In fulfillment of the prophecies that we just talked about of Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36. Far from replacing, canceling, or contradicting the Torah of Moses, the Holy Ghost, this is key, the Holy Ghost confirms it for the believers in Yeshua today. And this is revealed in Romans 3:31. Both events took place on that particular day we call Pentecost. Both were accompanied by theophanies. Now, somebody might say, what's a theophany, Pastor Donna? Well, this is what it is. Any direct visual manifestation of the presence of God. That was a theophany. Both were accompanied by many languages or voices and tongues. Both were accompanied by fire, Mount Sinai. And what happened in Acts 2? There was a fire resting on all their shoulders.
Or their heads.
The fire at Sinai was one fire visible by all. The fire at Jerusalem divided itself and rested on each individual. It's incredible when you think about it. So he's resting on us right now, Pastor Donna.
Thank
we received
Lord.
It. Hallelujah. Thus at Sinai, the Torah was given externally to the people as a whole, while at Jerusalem, the Torah was put within each individual believer.
To
the people as a whole. Amen. It's incredible. At Sinai, a mixed multitude in Exodus 12:38 accompanied the people, just as people from many countries were present at Pentecost. Now, I want to share something with you here. Think about this. In the Jewish history, And the rabbis and the sages declared this all down through time, mm-hmm. and they understood this, and it's in some of their prayers even today at Pentecost. They believed, and it's been proven at that time, when Moses spoke from Mount Sinai, there were 70 known countries at that time or languages. So the Jews understand, traditionally from what was taught by the sages and the rabbis, that God's voice reverberated through all that part of the world and gave everybody an opportunity to receive what he had that he was going to offer, not only to Israel, but to the world. And all they had to do is say, yes, Lord, we're going to do that. Well, none of them accepted that except for Israel. And Israel says, we'll do it, Lord, but we know what happened. They failed as well. But it's important to realize how important it is for this to be understood today. We got a lot of the church today that doesn't want to believe what Pentecost was all about. We know it was the birthing of the church and all that, but the key thing is there was a birthing that needed to be done in every individual who was a believer, and it was a fire of the Holy Ghost. They would, God said he baptized us, what? If the Holy Ghost and what? And with fire. That's what he said. And so that's it. We need that fire in our lives. Well, we got most of the church today that denies that we don't need that fire. You know, all we need is the word, and that's it. So anyway, I was talking about the theophany, and that's what happened. So they had fire, and it divided and rested on each of us individually, and they had one major fire on Mount Sinai back in that day. Thus, at Sinai, the Torah was given externally, I mentioned that, to the people as a whole, while at Jerusalem, the Torah was put within each individual. At Sinai, we mentioned a mixed multitude came out. A lot of the Hebrews were there, but a lot of the Israelites realized the miracles with those 10 signs that happened. They decide, hey, well, I'm going to kill a lamb or a goat and put the blood on my doorpost and my lintel. I'm going to stay in my house. And so they survived, didn't they? And they came out. All right? It's very good. I like that.
Well, isn't that the Holy Ghost and what happened there at Mount Sinai? That's just a sign of the power of God. Because of lightning.
That's right. Thunder.
Thunder. Lightning.
The mountain shook.
We had a really strong storm just the other day. And, you know, I was thinking about what was it like when they were on that boat, you know, and mm-hmm. they're going through and they have all this lightning and the boat is rocking and rolling in the water. You know, I'm thinking about, what was it like for those 8 people on that boat? You know, and that was the power and the lightning that was going on just the other night. I thought, oh, you know, can you imagine? We only had it for a couple of hours. And of course, I know Vero had a lot of flooding and everything, but here we have all of this power, and you know, it frightened the people and they didn't want to hear from God anymore. Mm-hmm. But you know, when we go over and we're going to do that, when we go over and read what it says in the book of Acts, that is power. And
sure,
you know,
is.
Without, and we've been given the power within us. So without the power, without the Holy Ghost, we have no power.
Nope, we don't.
I mean,
the
word is
don't.
Power, but we need the power of the Holy Ghost. This is a sign that counting of the Omer up until mm-hmm. that 50th day, 49
That's
plus
right.
1,
right.
was the time of the releasing of the power of God on the church. And here we have Peter, who, you know, who left Jesus, who denied Jesus 3 times, who went back out in the boat fishing, you know, and really he didn't get changed. He didn't get totally changed to be the man that God called him to be until he got that baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And he got the power came upon him, and he was already a bold person, but he became bold in the Lord, not bold in his own power or his own self or his own thoughts. You know, he had a lot of thoughts that were good, but you know, Jesus said, you're going to deny me. And Jesus even asked him 3 times, do you love me? Mm-hmm. And you know, so until he was endued with that power from on high, when the Holy Ghost fell upon them over there in Acts chapter 2, he was still in his self, natural person. He hadn't received the power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is represents, this power. So the power fell over there with Moses, but the people didn't want to hear from God. They only wanted to hear, they only wanted Moses to go up and talk to God. And they wanted to hear, you know, from Moses. But God wants to speak to all of his people.
That's right.
So he wants us to have a Pentecostal experience. And if there's
we should
people,
all be Pentecostal.
There's people.
Not denominational.
It's not a denomination.
That's right.
You know, my Bible says Pentecost in here. It doesn't mean that, you know, Pentecost means just Pentecost. This is the 50th day.
50th day, yeah.
The 50th day. It's 50. And so this is the time that the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So we need to all have that Pentecostal experience, and not just it's not a one-time thing. It's a lifetime. It's the power.
That's right.
It's the power. It's the source that we have from the power of God Almighty to do what He's called us to do.
Right.
To live a holy life first and
Amen.
Foremost, and to do the work that He's called us to do. You know, Peter and the rest of the disciples couldn't have gone out and done the work that they were called to do
without
the power of God.
That's it. You know, another interesting thought about this time down to the Jews, even today at Pentecost, they eat a lot of milk foods and products with milk. You know why? Why? Because it's the milk of the Word.
The milk of the Word.
1 Peter 2:12 tells us that. It's incredible. So we talked about the theophanies, you know. And the same things happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 in a little different way, but they were all there, weren't they, Pastor Don?
And the Holy Ghost always backs up the Word. The Holy
Ghost
gives us the Word. Jesus said, you know, when you open your mouth, He would fill it. How does He fill it? Because of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because the Holy Ghost is within us. Maybe I haven't memorized 500 scriptures, right? But they're all in there because I've read them all and I've meditated on them all, and maybe I don't know exactly where they're at. But when it's needed, the Holy Ghost will bring it forth and it will come forth. And so that's where the prayer comes from. You have to hear from the Holy Ghost to be able to speak what the Father says, to speak forth His word, speak forth His promises, to know how to pray with power.
I want to show something for the people listening. I want you to go over to Numbers chapter 11, and let's see what Moses said way back there about this, okay?
Well, I want to go back to Acts before we close.
Yeah, we will.
Numbers chapter 11.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm there.
Okay. Read verse 29.
And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His
Spirit
upon them.
Upon them. And that's His purpose. Every believer is God's purpose. Every believer, He wants them to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have a heavenly language. We can talk to God. We're not talking to men. It tells you that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So this is so important. But most of the people don't. The reason they don't have it is because they're told it's not for today, or they've never asked God. Jesus said in Luke to ask for the Holy Ghost.
Right. In the first covenant, it says upon them.
Mm-hmm.
So the Spirit of God came upon people at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And some were prophets, some were priests, some were kings. And, you know, He even came upon some that weren't.
That's right.
Because it was mm-hmm. for the purpose mm-hmm. of what God was doing. But it's different now because it says that He wants to put His Spirit within us.
Mm-hmm.
So that the power source is within us. And the Spirit of God also comes upon us at times.
Hallelujah.
For special anointings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, special anointings. So, but the Spirit of God is within us.
That's right. And that's what God wants us to have.
Mm-hmm.
We need the empowering presence of God. And as I say it all the time, it is what's key about it is it brings us into the supernatural. Amen?
And many times it will manifest itself upon us or upon a situation, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it's depending on the gift. It says to seek, covet the best gift.
Best gifts.
The best gift. So the Holy Ghost will bring that best gift
out.
For
right.
what's needed.
That's it.
You know, I could just think about one time, Pastor Gene, I've had this happen to me several times when you're praying for somebody or you're praying and all of a sudden, you know, I don't have any pains anywhere. And all of a sudden I'll have a pain maybe in my knee.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden then I'll realize the Lord is trying to tell me to pray for somebody's knee because they have a knee pain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not my pain. It's just a manifestation to show me to pray for somebody. And so that happens sometimes. I've had that happen several times with different situations, maybe different parts of my body.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a pain that I have or I had at all, you know. It's just, and it comes and you pray for somebody and it's just gone because you know that you're supposed to pray. Somebody's got a problem. Maybe you got 50 people in the congregation, and you got one or two people that are having a problem with their knee.
That's
so
right.
You pray, and you believe God, and lay hands on them, like the Bible says, and the pain goes away.
That's right. So we have to believe the Word of God, don't we?
God because says God will manifest
that's
things
right.
and situations.
But we have to believe it's going to happen.
Well, sometimes when we spend time soaking or in the presence of God,
right?
Like on Friday, mm-hmm. well, things will happen. The people will see a cloud, or there'll be a mist in there. That's a manifestation
that's
of
right.
His glory. So, and that's what it's the glory.
You,
see, woo, thank you, Jesus.
Sure,
so
when
people come together, a body of Christ, a body comes together, and they're in one accord. You know, it's that glory is going to be manifest.
Absolutely.
Manifested. And he manifests himself in different ways.
Different ways all the time.
So that we can't always look for the same thing. God doesn't do that. He will surprise us,
uh-huh.
you know. And so maybe it is, happens to, sometimes this happens. Maybe you'll smell something. You'll smell roses, right? Mm-hmm. Or you'll smell, a fragrance, a good fragrance.
That's right.
Now, I've had people tell me that they've... Maybe they've been in their home, or they've been somewhere, and they smell this bad fragrance. And I don't mean, you know, there's garbage sitting outside. I mean, you know, the enemy has a scent, a bad smell, a death
yeah,
smell.
Sure does. Yeah.
You know, so there's manifestations. There's different kinds of manifestations, and we really don't always know what's going to happen. But you know, what we have to do is just kind of be ready and know that God wants to manifest himself.
That's it. You got it.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
So, you know, I mentioned these 70 nations way back. It was, and we read the book of Acts chapter 2 over there. He doesn't mention every nation, but there's a lot of them mentioned, aren't they, Pastor Donna? And the power of the Holy Ghost came upon those people. And of course, back mm-hmm. at that time, those were ethnic languages that people spoke. And the men in Galilee there, they was wondering how in the world they could speak their language when they were from some other part of the world, you know.
And if people think that God has changed, he hasn't changed.
No, he hasn't.
Even in this chapter, in this Numbers chapter 12,
right.
it talks about verse 5. I'm just going to mention a couple things. The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Excuse me. Whoa. And then how about verse 6? If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. What
sure.
about that?
That's right. That's right. He does.
God hasn't changed.
We have visions and we have dreams. Dreams is when you're asleep. Visions you can have when you're wide awake and have a vision. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But we talked about this. How did they come up with this idea of 70 nations? Well, the Jewish Midrash that they study and all that, come up with that, and they understand what all about those 70 nations that were there. And so if we can look at this, in fact, the Midrash shows with Exodus 19:16, it's in our Bible, which we can talk about, what the people heard was a voice, as in most translations and in the King James Version. But voices is the Hebrew word kolot, K-O-L-O-T. This then ties in the Jewish Midrash, okay, on the day of Pentecost. We learn explicitly that the praises of God were in a similar way heard in the various Gentile dialects. It's amazing. So the Midrash also says that at Mount Sinai, the people were confused when they heard God's voices coming from every direction. In a similar way, the people hearing the languages of the nations at Pentecost were confused also and overwhelmed with amazement, as is always the case when God manifests himself to mankind in different ways. You know, people, something happens in a meeting, and they think, well, that couldn't be of God. What do you mean? God could do about anything, you know? It's amazing what he wants us to show us and all these things. And so we have to keep these things in mind. So, honey, let's go over to Acts chapter 2 there for a moment.
I'm there.
Are you there?
I'm waiting. Yeah,
right.
I'm there.
We're going to go to Acts chapter 2. We've got about 25 minutes left here. And let's just
thank
take a look,
Lord.
And see what God had to say through all this.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God it was written down. Glory be to God. So let's just start in verse 1. Chapter 2.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come.
And what it really means with the Hebrew and all was being fulfilled, okay?
The 50th day.
That's right.
It had to come to the 50th day.
This was the
day.
Fulfillment of Exodus chapter 19.
So we could talk about that. It was seven days a week, right?
Right.
Times what? Seven.
Seven. 49 days.
49.
And then
so,
one more day.
And so let's think about this also, Pastor Gene, because God always has a reason why he does things with seven.
That's right. His complete number.
He thinks he has because of the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
See, he's not going to go 6.5 weeks.
No.
No. He's going to go from Sabbath to
Sabbath.
And from Sabbath to Sabbath. And from Sabbath to Sabbath. He's going to do it how many times? Seven. And when he comes to that
49th day.
49th day.
in the Bible.
That makes the 50th day.
Then the Bible says add one more day and you come to the 50th day.
So God had a certain time. So, right. You know, God has order. I just want to show that God has order. Because it said it had fully come. So when the 50th day had come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now that's key also.
That's right. They were all in agreement.
With the church, if the church isn't in one accord many times, you know, and the church is just the body of Christ. You know, you can have three people, and that's a church, right? Two people is a church, right? I mean, you don't have to have 100 or 1,000 or 2,000.
Nope.
When believers come together, that's the church. We are the church.
Amen.
We are the church.
We don't go to church to be the church.
Now,
we're the church
only,
wherever we go.
There were only about 120 people there.
In the upper room.
In the upper room. And they were all together, and they were in one accord.
Yeah.
And they were waiting.
They were waiting. They didn't know what was going
to
happen, but they were waiting.
They had to wait. Jesus had already gone back to heaven. They saw him leave.
They saw
him leave. Many people saw him. How many they say were like 500 people?
At one time saw him.
Saw him go back to the Father. This was at the 40th day. But they had to wait another 10 days. They had to wait another 10 days until this all came together. And they needed to be in one place, all in one accord in one place. Because they were not all men.
That's right.
Men and women.
There was women.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Jesus was there.
That's right. So she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
She spoke in tongues.
Glory be to God,
Amen. And Peter, the one who Jesus had asked him when they went fishing, do you love me more than these?
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about the fish. He was talking about it because he was telling him what? Feed my sheep.
Go out
and take care of the people. And suddenly... That was a suddenly. There came a sound. Didn't we talk about a sound back over there in Exodus?
Mm-hmm.
From heaven as of a rushing mighty wind.
It blew into
the
place.
So that must have been a powerful, strong wind. Much stronger than that rainstorm we had the other night.
It says it filled all the house where they were sitting.
And there appeared upon them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Now we don't know exactly where it set. I see pictures where it's on their shoulders. I've seen pictures where it's
on
their
head.
But I want to tell you, it was on their tongue.
Yeah, it was on their tongue.
In any place, it was on their tongue. Because he would baptize them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And what did they do? They spoke. Their tongues came. They had tongues. They had tongues of fire. I would call it tongues of fire.
So let's take a moment here before we go on. All you that are listening, when we get through this, Pentecost is coming up. This would be a good time this year, if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost,
to
cancel all the things you've been taught, read the Word of God, take it literally, and then on that day, that'd be what a wonderful day to receive it. Say, Lord, as it says in Luke, Lord, I'm asking you to give me the Holy Ghost, and then believe it in your heart, and you can receive that. Amen?
They don't have to wait till then.
They
can do it today.
That's right. They can do it any day.
You can pray in the Spirit right now and somebody can catch it. Doesn't mean they're going to catch the same tongue you have.
Nope.
Some people say, well, don't pray in the Holy Ghost because you're not going to copy it. You can't copy it.
Nope.
But if somebody is praying in the Spirit or singing in the Spirit, singing in tongues or praying in tongues, and you are around it, just like when you come to visit a church, if you come to Spirit of Prophecy and there's prophecy going on, maybe you've never prophesied in your whole life, but when you walk into the environment where there's prophecy,
you might be able to do it.
You can prophesy. A little three-year-old can prophesy.
Yeah.
That's all we have to do is hear from the Lord and speak what God says.
That's right.
So here they were, and so this mighty wind came in and filled all the house where they were sitting. And what did it do? The wind do? It breathed upon them.
That's right.
What they took in a breath. What did they take in?
Spirit
that Holy
God.
Ghost.
That's right.
The wind of God, they had to breathe. They weren't holding their breath and holding their nose. No.
That's right.
They had to breathe in. Can you breathe in deep? What entered them? This mighty wind of God entered them. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire. That's right. Cloven tongues as fire. And it says that Jesus said, he says, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Not many days. That's right.
And he also said that you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And people have said, well, I don't know about the fire. I don't know if I want the fire. They think about fire. Sometimes they think about hell. Well, you know, fire of God is not hell.
Nope.
No. There is a hell fire, but this is not...
Fire of God's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Yeah. It burns out. It gets rid of the stuff, and it gives you the power of God.
And verse 4 is a verse that I remembered almost from the first day I got saved, and I stuck it in my heart. Mm-hmm. I marked it in my Bible. And they were all, not some, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, hallelujah,
as the Spirit
gave them utterance. Whoa!
So they were all speaking in tongues. And I've heard people say, well, that's going to bring confusion. It didn't bring confusion there, did it?
Nope.
No, it says they were all speaking in tongues. They weren't speaking in tongues one after another, taking turns. No, no, now it's your turn, now it's your turn.
No. All together.
They were all speaking in tongues all together. What were they doing? Praising God.
That's right.
For his wonderful works. We're going to go ahead and read a little bit more. They got received their prayer language. Now, we know that there's multiple tongues and there's different kinds of tongues. But that's another whole teaching. Mm-hmm. This is the initial baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Because God wants to give every one of us a prayer language.
That's right.
A prayer language.
Now, we don't know which one that Peter got. You know, talks about him. He preached that day. Now, he got a tongue. We don't know what it is.
Whatever tongue he got.
That's right. It was his.
I believe he got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the upper room. But when he went out to speak, whatever he spoke in, everyone understood it. Everyone understood all these. There's a whole bunch of people speaking in different tongues, but they can all understand what was being said. How? I don't know. But you know what? If I'm speaking, if there's only one person, say there's 100 people, and I only speak English, and I hear all these different languages, my ear is going to is fine-tuned. It's going to pick up the one that's speaking the English.
That's right.
You know, and those others will pick up theirs. It's people say, well, I don't know how that can happen, but God, it happens.
But we have to remember, Acts chapter 2 were all ethnic languages that were known in the world at that time, but those men didn't know those languages that they spoke. Later on, we hear about the unknown tongue, which
is
a different teaching,
languages.
Okay?
No.
So, but here they were all baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they were speaking a language that they didn't know. But somebody in that crowd knew. They said, "How do they do this? They're not from our part of the world." Amen.
That's right.
So let's go on and read a little bit here now.
Go ahead.
Now, when this was noised abroad, I skipped verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Why so many? Because the men were required to be in Jerusalem 3 times a year at 3 appointed times, and this was one of them. The place was packed.
What are the 3 times?
What do we have? Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles.
Okay.
Now, when this was noised...
And this is in your book.
Yeah. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
That's right.
And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?
Mm-hmm.
And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians?" Yeah. "And Medes, and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes." What was a proselyte? A Gentile that converted to Judaism. "Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." See what it is? The wonderful works of God.
And they were all amazed.
And we're in doubt. We got people today. They doubt it today in the church, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking, we have a lot of mockers today, said, "These men are full of new wine." They weren't drunk. I got news for you. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the 3rd hour of the day." What's the 3rd hour? 9 o'clock in the morning. They didn't drink at that time. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." You that are listening to the radio, this is that you need if you don't have it. This is that you need. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days," we're in the last days right now, "saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh," not some, all flesh, "and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall" what? "Prophesy." The book of Acts show many of them, when they received Christ, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and began to prophesy. And I will show wonders, verse 19, in heaven and above, and signs in the earth, beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Whoa, a solar eclipse. And the moon, a lunar eclipse, into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. Hear this. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. David's talking about Yeshua. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, no decay in his body. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Wow. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Then Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, by the right hand of God exalted, that's where he's at, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, hallelujah, until I make thy foes, thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord. That Lord means God, and he's also the anointed Messiah, Christ.
Amen.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. They had to get water baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift. This is interesting.
The Holy Ghost.
It's got the definite oracle. The gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift here was not being born again. The gift was the power of the Holy Ghost that Peter himself had received. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. That's you and I today. We're far off from that day. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about, there you are, 3,000 souls came into the kingdom of God. Over in where we were at, over in Numbers, what? 3,000 of them, of the Hebrews, were perished. They were killed. So there it is. It's all right there.
Awesome.
So now, who can say, reading this, well, I'm going to take this out of my Bible. I'm just going to remove this from my Bible. Can you say that? No, you can't find one place in the Bible where it says it's been removed. People try to tell you it does, but it doesn't. So think about this. The book of Acts, every time they show an example of a group of people getting born again, coming to Christ, immediately they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. They had their prayer language. And what did Paul say? So I pray in the Spirit more than you all. Aren't you glad? No wonder he needed as bad as the things that happened, the bad things that happened to him through his walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. He was beaten, imprisoned, all the things that happened to him. So he prayed a lot in tongues. Why? It tells us in the book of Jude, it says what? Building up your most holy faith by what? Praying in the Spirit. How do you pray in the Spirit? That's how you do it. Your heavenly language. And you may not know what you're saying, but if you feel something, you're getting anxious about something or something you're concerned about, just begin to pray in the Spirit until it's released.
It'll bring peace.
That's right.
It brings peace to your heart. It calms you down.
There'll be a release, won't there?
Because the power of God will overtake your emotions and your feelings and your thoughts. You have to just come to the Lord. You have to humble yourself and come to the Lord. But, you know, this proves, Pastor Gene, that what we call the old, what people call the Old Testament, actually what the Bible, in the Bible it says Old Testament, New Testament, and I know you don't like that terminology.
It's a renewed testament.
Right, it's the first covenant, and it's a renewed covenant. You know, many things have not changed.
That's right.
But the priesthood changed.
That's right.
And the sacrifices no longer sacrifices, because mm-hmm. Yeshua paid the ultimate sacrifice of his life. The Son of God, God died for us. Amen.
Amen.
But I like what the gentleman said, because we can go back. I'm going to go back to Joel in chapter 2, where you just read almost word for word what
right.
Joel said.
That's right.
So here, what Peter was saying,
same thing
that Joel said, mm-hmm. you know, and so he knew the Bible, but he was by the Spirit. It was the timing. It was the right time. It was the set time at Pentecost. Those many years passed that it was to come to pass. And it says here in Joel, it says in chapter 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass.
We're here.
Afterwards.
It's going on. Still going on.
That I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall have visions. So dreams haven't stopped. Visions haven't stopped. God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh.
Prophecies
haven't
stopped.
And we're going to see all these young people come to the Lord. We're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost like we've never seen before, because we're in these last days. And He also talks about the blood and all these things that are going to happen. Let me go ahead and just read the rest of this. This short, it's not that long. And also upon the your servants and upon your handmaidens, same thing. And in those days will I pour out my Spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens. You read that, didn't you?
I read that over in Acts chapter 2.
And in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke.
That's right.
These things are going to come to pass.
They're coming to pass now.
They're getting close. It's getting close. And
things.
I will show wonders in the heavens. So forth. I read that. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come.
That's right.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. The Holy Ghost brings deliverance, doesn't he, Pastor
Sure
David?
Does.
Brings deliverance. So here we have, this is in the first covenant. This, what you read, was in the renewed covenant. So, you know, I heard a gentleman that comes on before us. I can't remember his name.
Paul Nyssen.
Paul, he said something a couple weeks ago I thought was really... He talked about tearing a page out of the Bible, and I caught my ear. I says, what? What's he going to say that? What's he saying that for? I wouldn't tear a page out of my Bible. But he said that one page that's in the center here that separates the old from the new. Because, see, we need the whole Word of God. So this one page here is like a separating, like
it's like
dividing.
A wall.
It's
yeah.
like a wall.
Yeah.
And some people don't want to go back on to
That's
the
right.
old. They don't want to, but you know, God always teaches. We always learn from the beginning. We have to start in the beginning of the book and read through the whole entire book. So this one page here, I agree with him. This one page doesn't belong here.
There's no scriptures on it.
There's no scriptures on it. All it says is New Testament.
That's right.
So I just believe that's so true, because it actually makes a wall, a partition.
That's right.
A separation between this covenant and the renewed covenant. And so I just thought that's really awesome.
Another thing, Jesus made it real clear that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is subsequent to being born again.
That's right.
You can't have it without being born again. I'm reminded here in Luke chapter 24, verse 19. And Jesus told his disciples, says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power
from on high.
Well, what is that power? It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's within us. Amen?
Praise God.
So, you know, I don't understand what all the confusion is about this. It's not
power
for today. It's been done away. If it's in my Bible, I believe it. I believe this book from beginning, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. It's all for us today. Amen. And you know, I'm reminded what Jesus said in the book of Revelation. I'm just going to read this to you real quick here. In the very last chapter 22.
Thank you, Lord.
And it's also quoted in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Listen to what he says here. verse 18 of chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. And I don't think it just means the book of Revelation. It means the entire Bible. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
Whoa! Not
and good. Listen to this now. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, what we just read to you in Acts chapter 2, we don't take anything away from that. It means it's for today.
That's right.
You take away anything from that prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I mean, that's kind of scary. Now, just to verify this, I'm going to go back to the first covenant. I'm going to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 4 with you just to show you. See, God confirms his word. He always confirms his word. There's no contradiction between the first covenant and the second covenant. God makes it quite clear how they complement one another. Get my pages to turn here. I'll be all right. I'm slowly getting there. Pages want to stick. Here we go. Chapter 4. Now listen to this here. Whoa. Verse 1. Now therefore, God's telling Israel and all of us as well. Hearken. He was talking to Israel here, but it's for us too. O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may what? Live. And I think that word live, I've looked it up in the Hebrew before, it means more than just having a life right now, alive, but it means he talks about eternal life. And go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Now listen to this. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Isn't that incredible? Huh? So we have a confirmation of that what? In the renewed covenant. So God's word always complements one another. So I don't understand how we get some of these teachings today. And here we are, we're coming up on Pentecost, one of the most important times of the year, one of God's most important appointed times. All the males had to be in Jerusalem at that time. And I know the ministers will talk about Pentecost probably on that day, the preachers and all that. But will they have a call? Say, who would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost today like it was done in Acts chapter 2? Just come down. We'll pray with you and you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you'll leave here speaking in your own heavenly language, your prayer language. Mondo kosande. That's what needs to be done, Pastor Donna. We're running out of time here. My, this goes by so fast. We're down to about a minute and a half. But anyway, it's wonderful just to know that this word, we can bank on it in our lives.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be with you on this radio broadcast every Saturday at 12 noon.
Hallelujah.
You can listen to this program again on the internet, WCNO.com, or you can give us a call. We'd be glad to send you a copy of this CD. So,
or a book.
The book is $25 if you'd like the book. We have services on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So this afternoon, we have 4 o'clock. We have showing an awesome video, and I know you'll be blessed about it to know the Word of God. Our phone number here in Stuart is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we do have services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
So as we close this program, I want you to know what we're doing on this program is called Raising the Standard.
We want to
give you the truth. The truth will make you free, Jesus said. So don't believe everything people tell you. Just listen to the Word of God. He doesn't contradict himself in any way, shape, or form. If he's going to give you something, he's not going to take it away. So as we close this program, we thank you for listening. We tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor
Shabbat, Doc? Shalom, Sabbath, peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.